listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Check one, two, check one, two. Hello, everyone. This is Kay Ham, and I'm calling you today to, I'm calling in to talk about dinosaurs. Who out there wants to talk about dinosaurs? Anyone out there looking for dinosaur lovers out there would like to come on the Fakeologist audio chat on Discord and talk about dinos. Dinosaurs, do they exist? Do they? Do they? I've been thinking about dinosaurs lately. Just think if you had, just look at dogs, right? All the different types of dogs, but they're one species. And I think we can pretty much trace them back to a couple of dog species anyway. And from those dogs, look how many different types we've bred. Think about dogs. We've bred all these different dogs. Short ones, tall ones, thin ones, fat ones. Strong ones, weak ones, ones with specialties, like sled dogs versus what are those dogs that jump into little holes to get burrowing rodents. So many different types of dogs. If we took one set of bones from each, say 10 different dogs, right? One set of bones. But if we were to be more realistic like dinosaur hunters, we would take one bone from each dog. Let's be like dinosaur hunters, okay? We would take one bone from each dog and throw it in a box and then ask the dinosaur people to identify it. Do you think they'd be even able to say they're from the same species? Would that be possible? Do you think they'd even be able to identify the species from one bone? Now, these would be perfectly preserved bones, right? But if you're a dinosaur hunter, then your bone is completely decayed. It's turned to stone. Maybe the important parts have fallen off. So maybe we should tumble these perfectly identified dog bones in like a rock tumbler so we can knock off some pieces and then hand it to a dinosaur hunter and say, hey, what animal did this come from? So I bet most any scientist, if we did this project and we had 10 bones from 10 different dogs, 10 different types of bones, and put them in a rock tumbler so, you know, some pieces could get knocked off to simulate age. And then hand it to any scientist and say, we have 10 animals here. Please identify them. Think they even say they're all dogs? I don't think so. I don't think they could. I don't think they could take 10 different bones from 10 different dogs and be able to identify them properly. Well, so now think for dinosaur hunters. Most of the dinosaur finds in the beginning were one and two pieces. That's it. One and two pieces of bone. That's it. They have never found a full skeleton since, I think it was about like before 1950. After that, I think some shenanigans are going on. If they found a full skeleton of a dinosaur, it's faked. Just, well, we can't look at it to say anyway, is it fake or not? But hey, Napoleon, are you there? Want to talk about dinosaurs, Napoleon? Denny, I see Denny in the live chat stream. He's muted. You there, Denny? Do you think scientists could identify 10 different dog bones? Don't think they could. Dinosaur bones. You only get one or two. What's a Tyrannosaurus rex? The initial Tyrannosaurus rex dinosaur. Can you hear me? I can't hear you, Napoleon. Check one, two. I hear you like coming in and out. Am I not being heard? Check one, two. Check one, two. There he is. Are you there? Sounds like you're crunching potato chips. You're crunching potato chips there, Denny? Check one, two. Check one, two. Is your mic open, Danny? Because I noticed every time I talk, you come on. There we go. Can I hear you?
Yeah, me.
There, I can hear Danny.
Good afternoon, Kay.
Good afternoon. What time is it there where you are?
It is 11:13.
At night or in the morning?
No. Well, it'd be in the morning soon, but it's 11:13 p.m. at the moment.
Ah, p.m.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, my time.
Yes. What time is it for you there, Pat?
4:14.
14. So you just finishing a hard day?
Yeah, just come back from work, and now I'm about to do laundry, actually. But I thought I'll sit for a minute, have a cup of tea, nettle tea, and see if anyone's on the live stream before I get my work done.
So you were talking about dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned identifying, was it dog bones?
Yeah. If you took 10 different bones from 10 different sizes and shapes of dogs, do you even think scientists could go, these are all from dogs? No.
No. I bet there'd be someone who could, you know, get a few, right? I don't know. But nevertheless, something that's been in the ground for a number of years and decayed, everything decays. So now I'd say no. I agree with you there.
Right. I think for dinosaurs, scientists are completely ignoring that animals can have different sizes. You know, like dogs have different sizes. Even whales. My God, how many whales are there? There's tiny whales, there's big whales, but they all whales, Danny.
Yeah, of course, yeah. They all have the basic skeleton. I mean, a lot of the mammals have the basic skeleton, you know, you can't disassociate from a lot of them, whether it's, you know, they keep saying giant sloths and things like that, but they could be bears, you know, lots of different things.
Right. They could be anything.
Mm.
Unless you're a dinosaur hunter, then you get to say what it is, I guess, is the deal.
Yeah, I think you must be born to be a dinosaur, and so, because it's one of the luckiest things to do in it, finding fossils. And all of a sudden you just appear out of nowhere.
Right. They dig up a bone. I know what it is. I must call bullshit on you, scientists.
Yes. Well, people, we love the imagination, don't we? That's why we compile history. I mean, you're a teacher. That's why history is placed in books in a sort of romantic way, so people, you know, can take it on board. So just like any discovery, if there's a backstory, there needs to be a backstory, especially if there's nothing substantial about the main thing. So it will always be a miraculous find, some breakthrough.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, they'll have different, different magazines and stuff will do write-ups on Scientific American? New species found, and they just decorate the heck out of them. You know, blue, purple, feathers, fur.
Yeah, and they put feathers in the weirdest of places where it looks like it actually hinder. You know, I mean, you love something that looks like a part lizard. It's probably like a megalodon, but they say it's like 4 foot wide. And then it's got big protruding blue feathers, and then they put it in the background with molten lava. And it's all an anachronism when you think about it, but you know, as soon as they put it in a book and they get three or four people to nod and point their head for the pen in the mouth, you've got yourself a buy, haven't you?
Right. It's crazy. Who's this? Are you familiar with Lucy? The hominid they say was like the earliest man monkey.
I was familiar with the initial finding of it, and then now I'm only familiar with what Chris has said about it, which is hilarious.
It's so funny. So Lucy was discovered in Ethiopia in 1974 by Donald Carl Johansson. Really? I thought someone else discovered him. That's interesting. But anyway, how could I be so wrong? All right. So Donald Carl Johnson, and it's just the same thing. He was coaxed away from his paperwork by graduate student Tom Gray for a spur-of-the-moment survey. So I guess they must have already been in Ethiopia. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think the spur of the moment you're like, hey, you want to go to Ethiopia tonight? Yeah,
they had to be there, didn't they, to plant it? But anyway, let's not ruin it.
Caught the glint of a white fossilized bone out of the corner of his eye and recognized it as hominin, So they're in Ethiopia walking around the desert. He looks down. There's something white. He picks it up and he goes, it's from a hominin. Really? 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 Of all, like, you know what a desert's like at night? They're like, you know, they have a bunch of animals running around. They have foxes and, you know, other carnivores who catch and eat creatures and leave their bones lying around.
Nothing gets wasted. Oh. So to find a strip ball. Mind you, if you said it was white, it was glinting, you know, it could have been fresh. Didn't have any T-Rex bones near it with any meat in.
Right, it wasn't dirty. Yeah, you're right. It was white and clean.
Well, they usually are, aren't they? There was one discovered, I think it was on the west coast of England, and it sticks out about 4 foot, and it's some sort of sea dinosaur. But they actually had a dig there 2 years before. They found it, and no one ever found it, and then all of a sudden someone's just come across it. So yeah, it seems like they just plant them all over the place, but this must have been good. Good eyed archaeologist, just to spot that from there. Did he go on to discover any more, does he say?
So eventually they looked around and they were able to recover 40% of the skeleton. So I guess that little white piece that's just hanging out on the top was miraculously not disturbed, not far away from the actual million-year-old skeleton underneath it in the dirt.
Yeah, so then this was Lucy, and this is the one that where was it, the hip bone didn't fit, so he grind it down and make it fit? I think Chris was alluded to that. Well, no, he didn't allude to it, he said it. obviously, you know, distortion over time, pressure of, you know, when it was found at the top. That's another thing, why do people think things sink through soil? They don't go down that far, you know. And most of the time there's water below wherever you're drilling for. So usually it's either covered in sediment or there's nothing been disturbed for, you know, 1,000 years. I don't understand why people think everything sinks to the bottom of a stone ground or whatever it may be. Anyway, sorry, Kay, disappeared then.
No, that's right. It sinks, but it also rises, right? Because maybe it sinks to fossilize, but then it has to rise again so we can find it.
Yeah, well, I know soil turns itself over. You know, you can have a good 8 or 9 foot of soil and it will turn itself over in a year, you know, with the different animals and nutrients that are going on in there and the weather patterns, obviously. But not with these deserts where they keep finding these things. They dig down about 18 inches, and then they say it's 6.2 million year old, which I just think is hilarious. Just the way they deduce things.
Right, and it's always in their favor, you know, however they need it to be. So in this instance, I guess it's in their favor for a million years of soil to have disappeared on top to reveal Lucy below. Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, whatever the narrative is at the time, so they'll make it fit. What was the time scale on it?
How old was Lucy?
You said Ethiopia as well.
Yeah, Ethiopia, you know where it's starting to crack? But anyway, so could you pick up a bone anywhere and automatically know it's like from a monkey type animal? I mean, just one bone and know immediately what animal it's from?
I don't think so. Especially not in Ethiopia.
Right. I mean, what about it made him think it was ape-like, for God's sake? How would you even know what part of the body it was from? Have you ever like gone fishing, right? And you just, even the fish bones, right? When they're like, if you like on the beach, you'll see a bunch of the bones sometimes all scattered about. You still have to go, what? Even if you just did the, you know, just, you know, cleaned the meat off the bone and, you know, filleted the, that's the word I'm looking for. You filleted the fish and everything else. And it doesn't take long for those bones to, like, completely degrade. So to find an entire skeleton, 40%.
Yeah, well, I mean he's probably gone for the thigh bone because, obviously, like you just said there, the rest of the sinews, everything that do keep the bones and the back and the spine together. So the thigh bone is going to be the biggest, so that's probably why they've said that. But obviously, he's gone out there knowing what he's going to find. But, you know, he probably didn't even go out there. Probably just him and his friend said, right, we're going to do this now, make sure no one's about. And then that was obviously, that's how we do things. But It's just funny now how they picked on, you know, a race, because they did depict on a black race to sort of perpetuate this missing link thing. And it's amazing how many black people at university swallowing it.
All right. This says that the team concluded from Lucy's rib that she was part, that she ate a plant-based diet from a rib.
Mm.
I wonder what about the rib.
Don't know, but it's probably biblical in some sense. Eve means rib, doesn't it? So, I don't know.
And her curved finger bones meant that she was probably living in trees. Then how do they know? Rochester.
It's like they just every scientist just wrote a line and then passed it on to his friend, and he's wrote a line and they've not seen what each of us wrote the line before. Bent fingers living in trees, you know. It's brilliant. Yeah, but they've tied it up now. Now it's like Neanderthal man, and you know, there's two separate races of Neanderthal man. You've got the real big meat eaters, and then the ones that we were supposedly branched off into. And then you have this crazy Himalayan man they're trying to push now. A girl for all seasons, or a boy for all seasons, or a link for all seasons.
Himalayan man. Do you have any, dinosaur exhibits near where you live?
Oh, loads. I popped in the museum the other day. Megalodon. I've got some pictures. I will post them. There's loads of dinosaurs bits. There's not actually a dodo. I went in there looking for a dodo skeleton, actually. Because I know myth. What's the word? I think they're a myth.
The big museum in New York.
Museum of Natural History, that one.
Is it the Museum of Natural History that has the dodo? Or the Smithsonian? One of those has the dodo. But they'll tell you, and if you look, there's a little sign on the case that says this is made from chicken feathers because there are no dodos in existence to get a skeleton from.
How convenient. It was a meter, so.
But there are, some of these islands, Denny, where, you know, man hasn't been before. I mean, it could be we've killed a local species. I mean, it could have existed, but.
Oh, yeah, it's just the things that are attached to the dodo that make me suspicious about it. It was native to Mauritius. They never managed to bring one back because they were tasty, just like the big tortoises in the Galapagos Islands. Apparently, it used to have lithoglyphs, you know, and it used to eat stones. So it used to have stones in its gizzard, which is a funny thing for a bird to do. And it fed on palm fruit. So in all this wording, I kept getting stones and palms and masons and 33s, so that's what led me to do that. But there's a lot of Roald Dahl wrote about the dodo as well. There's a few things about it.
Roald Dahl. That must be fake.
I know, it's crazy. But, anyway, how do we get on the dodo? Oh, extinct animals. Yeah, I'm unsure about half the stuff they tell us now, what's lived before in the past. I mean, that saber-toothed tiger, I used to love that when I was little. But thinking about it now, that'd be a hindrance.
Wouldn't it, that big giant tooth, is that really part?
But they do say there was giant versions of them as well, you know, even larger ones. And so, maybe there is a cat out there that has large incisors or extra incisors like that. I don't know. But the dinosaurs, I think anything bigger than an elephant now, I think we know it's preposterous in this climate that we're in anyway. So.
Right. Just the size thing. I mean, you can't have... Hey, what's the word I'm looking for? You can't have a giant. I mean, so look how big an elephant is, right? How squatty he is for as big as he is. And I don't think we could get much bigger than a dinosaur. I mean, of a dinosaur than a giraffe or an elephant. I don't think the heart can pump the blood to where it needs to go when the body gets so massive like that.
Oh, definitely. Then you'd have to increase the size of the hand and end up with something like a whale so it's not going to be able to live on land. But even elephants have problems. I mean, they have to stay cool for, you know, so I mean, they have to, obviously, they chose their habitat where they are now because it was the perfect one for them. But these dinosaurs meant to have roamed all over the place, and anything bigger than, I don't know, a VW. But they should be everywhere if they were real.
Right.
People should have just collected the bones for years, you know, because there would have been that many.
Yeah, it's quite ridiculous. Even like the one of the, Chris was talking about it, one of the first from Hoaxbusters call. Get his proper call sign. It's hoaxbusterscall.blogspot.com. And he does a weekly Monday show. It's fun on TalkShoe. But anyway, he was talking about the, what's the iguanodon? Yeah. Iguanodon. It's one of the first dinosaurs recognized. And they recognized, they called it iguanodon because the tooth was like an iguana tooth, cause super specialized. It has these funny little round edges on it. Looks like there's petals around it. And the only creature that has that petal-shaped tooth is the iguana. So they found a tooth like four times as big as an iguana tooth, which is quite small. It's like a quarter inch, maybe the size of an iguana tooth, but this was like an inch big.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh my God, this must come from, instead of a giant iguana, they said an entire new species. We'll call it dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Why not just say it's, right? Why couldn't it be just from a bigger iguana?
Yeah. It's like when they find the neck and they go, well, this is a dinosaur egg, or they'll say this is a dinosaur egg, and by that reckoning what you just said there, they should just be saying, oh, this is a giant chicken, you know, a giant chicken egg. But that is what they've actually done now, haven't they? They've turned everything into a giant chicken. So, you know, they're actually showing you well, it was Steven Spielberg, wasn't it? I mean, this way the bird movement was put into the dinosaurs, especially in Jurassic Park. And he said himself, his main effort in that was to make people recognize that they come from birds. So obviously he's just pushing the story as well. But it must be the most easiest thing to work with chicken bones. It's not the hardest skeleton. We've all skinned a chicken before. All you got to do is work on a bigger scale. You've got yourself a dinosaur. You at least know the rudimentary movements, don't you? Especially the short arms of a chicken. The limbs, whatever they are. I don't know. Wings, there you go.
Oh, right. That's funny, because if their wings were like arms, they'd be short, tiny little things.
Hello, Tao.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Cool, man.
Hey, Tao, how you doing?
Good. Are you guys having a good Friday?
I am now that Denny's here.
Oh, you're too kind. No, it's a late one for me. I'm just kicking around, being lazy, and I seen Kay was in, so I jumped straight in to see, because I know she's a busy lady, and I managed to get a good chat out of her.
Are you guys going to go check out some dinosaur bones?
Oh, me? No. It is funny, though.
Have you ever seen them in person? Like, gone to, like, a museum with, like, dinosaur bones?
Yeah, but they're not real dinosaur bones that they show you, are they? So, you know, we're still left with that plastic cast, but there's still some good thought going into it.
Yeah, there is actually no dinosaurs exhibited. They're all reproductions.
Too valuable.
Yeah.
Is the Natural History Museum in New York City, are those not the original, supposedly original bones? Are they covered with lead or something? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right. They'll say they're dinosaurs. They don't say they're real dinosaur bones. But if you press them, there's always some little plaque on the side saying this is a reproduction from an original cast or something like that.
Of course it is.
But there isn't one actual real dinosaur bone being displayed. I've done a lot of research, but there's a few in England, especially where Mary Anning found her dinosaurs. They said they were real there. But when you look, there's like three different museums. They say they're real, and they're the exact same bone. So you're like, well, you can't all be real. There's only one real, you know, Mary Anning. Let me find out. What dinosaur did she discover? She found many.
So the Lyme Regis Museum, if you go there online, they'll say they have one. But then there's the Royal London Museum, and then they'll say they have one. And one of the dinosaurs was, let me find it. They were all sea creatures. Where are they at? And it's found like it's a flat thing. I mean, they're all the same. It's like a plaster cast, but then it kind of looks rocky, but they're in three different museums. So I'm like, no, they're not the same bone then. But
so,
I, yeah,
so then what is your theory as to why they, I haven't really looked into it. I mean, obviously we all recognize they lied to us about so much. Why not lie to us about dinosaurs, right? But what do you think the reason is behind creating this whole story about dinosaurs?
I think that the dinosaurs are just part of a movement in the late 1800s and early 1900s that they wanted the most crazy creature that they could put, you know, a traveling show, make a bunch of money. But, and I think the powers that be, they looked at this story that was emerging and said, how can we use this for our advantage? And then it became perhaps a different story. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what do you think about saber-toothed tigers and like woolly mammoths and things like that?
I think they're not part of the dinosaur era, are they? They're recent. They're
That's what I was going to say. I think they're localized to recent history, but you nevertheless, I'm sketchy about anything that's been shown to us now.
Because I've seen those bones and those things at the La Brea Tar Pits in Los Angeles, but obviously, like you said, they're recent. They're not like, they're like from the last 25 to 30,000 years, I think, you know? So.
Well, I might believe in them because, like the giant sloth, there are thousands and thousands of giant sloth bones from several different countries that you can find. Like, they were all over the world, and you can actually touch and see the bone. But dinosaurs are the opposite. There's not thousands and thousands. There's no dinosaur bones on display at all.
Do you think anything could last that long? Anything, you know, organic? I really don't think it could. Even if
well, they turned to stone, Danny, remember? Well,
no, I know the nutrients, but I mean, even at a basic level, I know we can fossilize stuff, but I don't think something can stay. I mean, the you know, bottom of the ocean, you know, the trilobites, things like that, I can understand, yes. But not these big things that they're trying to get away with anyway.
Right.
You know, under the ocean, yeah, so whales, a lot of these things, you know, and old lagoons and stuff like that, but not on the rock basis, because you have weathering and things like that. So just as the rock's being built up, it's being washed away at the same time.
You know what I mean? Interesting, right. Why wouldn't it also start little pieces falling off and degrading and weathering? That's a good point. So why didn't that Lucy bone in the desert for a million years weather? Was it like magical? Is it?
I read something. Well, I have petrified wood, and that's like, you know, obviously wood that's now stone. You know, so I mean, I guess, you know, organic stuff can be, I guess, in a sense, fossilized, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's really fragile, to be honest. Even though they're like bookends, they're pretty fragile. So
well, have you seen them pictures to the petrified forest?
No, I haven't seen the petrified forest, but I have.
Oh, you'd love them. It's basically it's where trees have been felled and logged, and the stumps have been petrified. But that's they go all different colors.
Did you guys? I'll have to check that out for sure, Napoleon. Did you guys hear about, or I don't know how it came up or something like that. I don't know how I even came across the information, but I guess there's like a river in Germany, the Rhine River or Rhine something, I guess where it used to flow or whatever. I guess they found new fossilized skeleton remains that predate Lucy, supposedly.
Ooh.
That was like something recent. Like
in the Rhine? Not in Africa?
In the Rhine River, but like where the Rhine River used to flow, I guess it's not no longer the river flows there any longer.
I'm unsure about my German rivers, but I do know that one is where you say it. So yeah, I think you're right. But whereabouts who discovered it? Can you bring that information up?
Because the only reason I bring it up is because we're talking about this, and I remember reading about it. And I think it was only like a week or two ago that they had released that information or said something about it. I'm sure we have to just do a Google search and find it. But it's the Rhine River. Don't hold me to it. It could be Germany. It could be Austria. And they found skeleton remains that, I guess, predate that the Lucy skeleton.
Well, yeah, I called up the article. It says 9.7-million-year-old ape teeth found in Germany. Open debate about human history. This is October 23rd, 2017. So this must be it. A team of archaeologists in southwestern Germany uncovered teeth millions of years old, likely belonging to ancient Eurasian primates. Oh, good, we get primates in Europe now. Are you happy, Denny?
All right, so they built a boat. There you go. They made it. Thank God for that.
Well, I'm glad that I remembered reading that. Added to the conversation. And,
So the guy who discovered him, his name is Herbert Lutz. He's head of the excavation team at the Natural History Museum in Mainz. And he was digging at the site for 17 years where the Rhine River used to flow, excavating riverbed sediments approximately 10 million years old. So that's why he thinks it's this million years old, because he's down there in the dirt there.
Well, I don't know. Are the teeth fossilized? That I don't remember part of the article or not. Is he actually getting DNA?
Well, let's see. At the end of 2016... Herbert Lutz's team decided to finally wrap up the excavation. Just in the last second, these two teeth came to light. We really weren't expecting such a tremendous discovery. So guess what? They don't have to close up shop now. They can keep digging. They got a whole bunch more money.
Just in time.
Just in time.
Just in time. And the two teeth, they were... Now it says the 9.7-million-year-old, they're the canine teeth of the ape tooth and an upper molar found only 60 centimeters apart. Wow, after 10 million years, they still stayed 60 centimeters apart. That's like Lucy.
Right.
After millions and millions of years, they just stayed in the same spot.
So all the fighting, all the wars, all the rivers, the flooding, God knows how many floods, everything. Thanks.
They stayed together. Both teeth are completely preserved, too, and they look excellent and are shining like amber, still no longer white.
So that funds their excursion now for another, what will it be? Will it be years? How long the academic year is, or is it longer for an architect, an archaeologist? Is it like 3 years? You know, because they do use a lot of money, don't they? I mean, they often tell lies on a regular basis.
And there was additional information from archaeology that I saw today. They found another chamber in the Great Pyramids. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I seen that. It was mental. And he started talking about muons and testing new radar technology. And he just disappeared down some tangent. But, is this just the same tunnel where it had the door at the end of it and now they've gone past it? Is that where it is? They've had the same tunnel, and all they do is after about 12 years, they go back in and they get that Egyptian fella with his hat to, you know, watch something go up with a camera, and then they come to a door, and then they go, that's as far as we can go, and it's happened twice. I've watched it both times.
I think they were doing some sort of scans with scans of the whole. Some new technology they had to, do some scans, and I guess the people...
They were using muons to detect where the chamber was. There you go. I don't know if muons are real. I'm sure Sean will put us right on that.
I'm sure there's chamber. I mean, I think when I have read it, too, the article, I think it had said something like, you know, that other guy who seems to always want to not have any debate about the pyramids whatsoever, that guy, the Egyptian archaeologist from Egypt... You know who that guy is?
The Wasp or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I took the Egyptian guy. What's his name?
It was his hound.
He came right over. He's like, oh, of course there's extra chambers in there. It doesn't mean that it's anything. And
Zahi Hawass? Is that
the guy?
Yeah. Yeah, Zahi Hawass. He is, he's old school. He's a protector. This dude, by the way, if you paid him enough money, he would let you hold any... any secret little meeting you wanted in the pyramid. It's a huge scam. I mean, he would let, oh my God, who's that one devil worshiper from the 1930s?
Crowley.
Crowley, yes. Crowley paid him, and he let Crowley have these, you know, super top secret worshiping meetings in the pyramids.
Oh, did you see that message I sent you, Kahem, about that Dramatria book that I found, and there was a fraternity group that actually published it. It was like a book that translated the whole thing. It goes back to that Crowley guy, because the guy who created that thing was it was interesting how Crowley is also related to, like, somehow connected to the guy that created the movie, the book, The Jungle Book, and other stuff as well. So, doing some searches, speaking about Crowley. But actually, the Egyptian stuff, though, because I always find that really fascinating. Have you guys ever looked into a lot of that stuff? Has any of that ancient history ever interest you guys?
Well, just one sec. Well, you mentioned Rudyard Kipling then, because he was the one that wrote The Jungle Book. I actually watched a film the other day called The Man Who Would Be King. And The Man Who Would Be King, it starts off basically, it's all about masonry. You'll love it, Tal, if you've not seen it. And the first person they meet is Rudyard Kipling. So you'd like it. The Man Who Would Be King, Sean Connery, Michael Caine, I think it's 1968, maybe, something like that. It's a cracking film. You'll enjoy it.
Hmm.
But yes, I am totally fascinated by ancient archaeology. It's one of my favorite pastimes.
Do you have Netflix?
Yes.
Have you seen The Pyramid Code?
I read the book, damn it.
Oh, you did. Yeah, they have they have the 5 or 6... part thing on it. I think it's fascinating because I just like to see all the stuff that they're showing, you know?
Is it Carl Monk?
Yeah, a big, Pyramid Code. What's the name of the dude?
That I don't know.
Code. I know. I'm being a bit vague. What was his name? He discovered that the pyramids are laid out exactly like the constellation.
Yes.
Robert Bouval. That's his name, Robert Bouval. So he was featured in the Pyramid Code because what he figured out is each pyramid is a star, and the Nile River is the Milky Way, and it's a perfect representation.
Well, it's interesting because when you look at the Mississippi River in the United States, and you have the city Memphis, and it's almost like it's designed exactly just like ancient Egypt sometimes if you look at a map. With the name of the cities, and have you ever looked into that too, or heard that correlation?
Ooh, no, in around the Mississippi River.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a bunch of like cities like Memphis, and there's some other things or whatever. And there's actual pyramids in those cities and stuff like that that I guess correspond to the ones in Egypt.
They are pretty freaky, them pyramid stuff. I've seen them. Yeah.
In Mississippi.
Yeah, some of them, I mean, they're beautiful, but it's just out of the blue. You just come around the corner, there's a big pyramid.
We actually have a big pyramid right over here in Long Beach.
Someone made it?
It's actually a school gym for Cal State Long Beach. It's huge. You can see it like from the 405.
I've got a couple of small ones near me as well.
Interesting. So what, the pyramids in around Mississippi are man-made?
No, they're man-made, but it's just interesting because it's like Memphis, like there's a Memphis, Egypt, and there's a Memphis, Tennessee,
Cairo means Mars, doesn't it? Cairo means Mars. Hmm. You got that correlation again with the sky.
Cairo does. Interesting.
Well, what's also interesting in that pyramid code thing, I think the first episode they talk about how there's like 27 pyramids that if you can go to one that and almost all of them, no one's like guarding them at all. Anyone can go to them, and they're just, you know, in decay. But you can actually look at one and like see all 27 down the road, including the Great Pyramids.
Oh right, when she was on that, like, because like the Nile River kind of cut through these, you know, edges of like the mountains. So yeah, it's like there's mountains there. I mean, the pyramid themselves are on these super large plateaus. You know the grading you have to do to build. Now this is, to me, is more fascinating than the actual pyramid itself. You have to grade the ground before you build the pyramid. That means you have to make sure, right, all four corners are the exact same, they're level. They're completely level.
Now, do they have to incorporate the curve of the Earth in that?
Good question. I'm sure they used a plumb bob, which levels to the center of the Earth. Yeah, I bet they did.
Have you heard of the book The Lost Star of Myth and Time?
No, I haven't.
The author of that talks a lot. It's a lot about Egypt and a lot about the other pyramids around the world. But he has, like, I guess, like, it seems like the basis of the book basically is that, according to what NASA tells us, 80% of stars observed are in binaries. And so why wouldn't Earth, or why wouldn't our sun be in another binary as well, since 80% of them are in binaries? And because of astrology and because of, I guess, the ancient cultures from the Mayan and the Aztecs, the Incas and the Egyptians, they all have this 25,000-year period in which, I guess, our sun goes through, I guess, our galaxy, right?
Great ecliptic, call it, don't they? It's 26,000 cycles, 26,000 thing it is.
I think they call it a great year or something like that, possibly. And it's 25,000 years. But I guess during that cycle, as we move through the galaxy, whatever the celestial bodies influence us, we go through these periods where we become kind of like more intelligent, more advanced, and then we become less advanced and less intelligent, and it's like cyclical. And some of, I guess, his theory too is, like, if you look at the pyramids, the Egyptians got progressively worse and worse and worse at building the pyramids.
I know, but just let me stop you there, because you know what they're relying on there, because like you said, 25,000 years, whatever it may be, that's meant to be every year for every degree. Every 72 years moves one degree. So that's 72 times 365, days for a year. So obviously you times that by that, you get your 25,000, whatever it is, number. But we've never seen any parallax with the stars moving. So this is why you can't really take that to, what it is. Because they're relying on something there that we've actually proven doesn't really work. They're saying that there's a precession, and there's never been any precession witnessed.
I started looking into some of that stuff, like more information, because I was like, where did all this information come from for astrology and numerology? And I guess the original book was by this guy named Firmicus Metaeus. And it's actually a really interesting story, because I've only read maybe like 1/4 of the book. But it's interesting to read it, because what this guy did, it kind of talks in the beginning how the guy writes how he met. I guess he was on this road in Rome, like in ancient Rome or whatever. And this other guy, they were traveling on the road together. And I guess they started talking about how they have this interest in astrology ancient Greek language. And I guess a lot of it was getting lost at the time. And so I guess the guy had said to him, well, it'd be really good if you could translate that into modern Latin. And when he did, he's like, contact me or whatever. And so they could, compare, notes and everything else on it. And I guess the guy that had suggested that to him ended up becoming mayor of Naples back in ancient Rome. And I guess that is the surviving book from ancient Greece or whatever that actually shows. I guess that's what all astrology is based off is that original book and that original interpretation. And when you read that book and you start reading it, it's not like, Napoleon's going to have a bad day today because he was born on this day or whatever. It's all actually way more science and based on like degrees and based on the constellations, it comes across more scientific than it comes across as, just a bunch of nothing, So
If something's presented differently, then there is some sort of cycle going on up there, whether you like it or not. There is something going on that has been recorded and witnessed by man for years, and there must be a reason that they're doing it. It's not just pretty lights in the sky. There is some cause and effect with something going on up there. But the fact that the convince us, you know, extra stuff that it can, you know, it can affect us. It probably can tell. I reckon this entire place is like Harry Potter land. You know, I believe there is some sort of magic going on, or, you know, ultimate force. But the reason people don't take astrology for real is because they don't think that the gap from the heavens to, you know, to yourself can be bridged.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's been bred into us, which is a bad thing, but and it's also a good thing. It's made a lot of people real skeptical, but nevertheless, it's helped people into this. We're significant on a spinning ball flying through space. So, you know, it affects some people differently, the science.
Right.
That's so funny, Tal. You were talking about the in the book, The Lost Star.
The Lost Star of Myth. Oh, yeah, and you know what's even crazier? The guy created this institute called the Binary Research Institute, and it's literally based where Vidya and I live, right over here in Newport Beach.
Oh, cool. And you know what else is cool? Simon Schack, his groundbreaking astronomical studies into our solar system, he thinks it's binary, too. I mean, not thinks, he can prove it's binary. All of his data perfectly matches the Neve planetarium data to show we are in a binary system. And his system solves, like, all these mysteries.
I'm of the same mindset that I think we're in a binary, and not just because of all that stuff that I've read, but I think even when you think about it, like, even ice ages and things like that, like, why, I mean, they obviously occur. Like, why do they occur? You know, it wasn't because of fossil fuels, like, you know, 20,000 years ago.
Going out on a limb there saying ice ages occur. They go to somewhere where it's ice there and tell you that the ice there went all over the planet. Why don't they go somewhere else on the planet that's got
Find ice? I believe weather changes. I think that's just a given. So
yeah, but no, what I mean is where they test for ice ages, there's already ice there. That doesn't make sense to me. Go and test somewhere else for ice ages. There's no ice. Yeah?
Well, hey, first of all, Napoleon, you said you believe in magic.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely something going on. I mean, what about when a man conceives of a woman? You know, it's mental.
Is that because you went to Hogwarts?
No. Just,
it's over there near you.
Right? Isn't that where you live, right?
Pretty much. I walk past Hogwarts every day. Every day. I do. And there's a dinosaur in the window and a 3-foot spider crab as well.
All right. Well, abracadabra, you know?
True. I'm not even joking with you. Google Manchester Museum, you'll see the front of it. There's a 3-foot spider crab in the front window.
Those are crazy, right? Those spider crabs, giant. Oh my God, they're scary. Right. I think the Alaskan waters are so pretty. If I came up with just any bone, no one would be able to. They'd fight over where they thought this bone came from, first of all, and what animal or species it was. It looks like those, I'm going back to dinosaurs, they got it nailed down. They just look at a bone, they're like, boom, monkey. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm off task.
No, we're all on task. I think we've just brought up a lot of different things. And the dinosaur thing, I guess it's like one of those things I've never, like I've kind of looked into it, but I guess it didn't really interest me because I didn't really understand the point of lying about dinosaur bones, you know, like, to me, I don't know, I just, I feel like it doesn't even fit into that, like, the evolution paradigm, because none of those animals are living any longer.
No, it got people into the anthropology side of evolution, so it served its purpose to get people interested.
And if you read the literature, they connect it all the time. They say, oh, this proves evolution. Dinosaurs prove evolution. It's like all the books. Then that's, you know, they might not like, you're right. They don't have like all, it's not laid out to be like so obvious, but it's in the books. They keep connecting it, dinosaurs and evolution.
Well, I feel like I found an actual legitimate connection between gematria and Freemasonry.
Yes, let's go back to that. That was so cool. So let me go to Discord on my, I don't like to do Discord on my work laptop. because it just, it's so grabby with the audio.
Yeah, if it, on my tablet, it fucks up my volume sometimes. But I can see, what is his name? He's in room 11 right now.
Typo?
No, not Typo.
So look, I've got my phone open. Mahatma Kote.
Exactly.
Yeah. Come on, Mahatma. Let me go. You should go in there.
He's been having issues with his volume as well.
Oh, I wonder if that's why. I think it's grabby.
I think what happened though is I think somebody got into his. I think someone acquired his email and his password from speaking to him, and you know, in more detail.
Okay, so let's go look at the gematria thing. Go back.
So, Kingham, I can't stay too late because I have this get ready. I'm actually going to be heading up to Malibu. So.
what you doing in Malibu? Make me jealous.
I have friends that live up there, so I'm headed up there to see them. And then tomorrow, my cousin's flying in with her husband, and we're going to do a whole LA kind of thing. And then.
Is it too cold for the beach?
Yeah, it got cold. I mean, it's low 70s, but it's, you know, that's not really, when it's really dry here, so it's, you know, with low 70s, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe I've acclimated, but it's kind of on the cold side to me, you know? So.
You have to put a shirt on, is that why it's cold?
Yeah, basically. You have to wear a sweatshirt, maybe. Yeah, it's this time of year where we sometimes get rain, and so it's going to rain on Monday, so it's kind of getting overcast now instead of it being sunny every day. But it will go away by next week, and they're here for 10 days.
So what's the L.A. thing? What spots do you stop at?
Oh, yeah, I would just, I don't want to tell everyone where I'm going right now because I don't want to run into anybody. But
well, like Seattle, right? So if you come to Seattle and we do the whole Seattle thing, we have to take you to the Space Needle. That's an important one. You know, we have to take you to Pike Place Market to walk around there.
People don't tell people, like, the hippest places, not the most hippest, but, I mean, the cool stuff to do in Los Angeles generally is in West Hollywood. Which is, like, it's on the border of Beverly Hills and West Hollywood, that area, or, I mean, it just kind of depends, because, you know, I'd say L.A. is a bunch of towns looking for a city, because it's just, a bunch of neighborhoods looking for a city, because it's just, everything is so different, and you just drive, like, three streets over, and it's like New York, you know, like, you go to Upper West Side and the Upper East Side, and they're totally different than Hell's Kitchen or Chelsea or, you know, you live in New York, you know what I mean, so.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, but I mean, for me, I think West Hollywood and even the Hollywood area, that's more fun because there's like a lot of history there, you know?
Right.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
I'm sounding drunk then.
Hey. Why are you drunk, Ab? Quit sounding drunk.
So you lived in New York, did you, Kay? Sorry, one sec. When did you live in New York, darling?
Oh, about 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Ooh, during the big one.
I spent about before 9/11. Okay. I was in New York.
Miss it?
It's hard to live there, man. Life is hard there. You have to spend a lot of your energy just getting to work. Finding food is hard. Boy, here it's so easy. There's no traffic. You just go to the store. You know, all your things you have to do as a human are so much easier not in New York.
Yeah, London's like New York, supposedly for doing that.
So, Tal, what's in West Hollywood?
So, all right, well, just a lot of nightlife, you know, and it's so close to the nightlife. Like, there's like these new pop-up bars, and we're not going to go to them, but there's like a Star Wars pop-up bar or Tim Burton bar and stuff like that, and they're just pop-up bars. You know, they'll be around for a month or two, and then they're gone. And then there's, like,
pop-up
some other
bar.
Yeah, New York City used to do that. That was pretty big in New York. Maybe after your time. But
I was with my husband in New York, and he's Muslim, so we didn't drink. So I don't know anything about nightlife.
Yeah, I feel like New York City is like the city where it's like socially acceptable to be an alcoholic.
Dang it, I missed all the fun.
You have no idea. I had a lot of fun in New York. So that's why every time I go to Vegas, I'm like, Vegas has nothing on New York to me, you know? Like, I don't know.
Oh, right, yeah. New York has the stores that are open all night long. Vegas really doesn't.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, I don't know. And I just was in Vegas last weekend, so so I can...
Well, yeah. Okay, so let's ask that before you have
to. I didn't see anything. I didn't even go to where any of that was. I wasn't interested in... We were there to see Britney Spears for one of our last concerts, so...
Well, were people talking about it at all?
Nobody was dancing, which was really weird. and it seemed like people were on edge. Like, looking around, like, I don't know if I'm, like, feel it, but my other friends I was with and everyone else was like, what's going on here? Like, it just seems like people are on edge, you know? And I'm like, oh, maybe it's that whole shooting thing, you know? But the people I was with already thought it was fake anyway. They all thought that thing was all fake anyways.
What? How could you be so lucky to have friends like that?
I don't know. I think at least they're open-minded to it or whatever, you know? So
they weren't worried at all. They didn't feel...
They were zero worried, yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
And we drove there. It's like a 4-hour drive. It's like a 4-hour drive. So it's not a bad drive, I guess, you know?
Right. Danny, have you been to Vegas before?
No, I've never been to the USA, darling. Never ever. I'd love to go. It sounds amazing. But tell, when you were talking then about the weather, saying, oh, it's going to rain, it chucks it down every day in Manchester, mate. It rains all the time. Everybody you see or you talk to, you're sort of sheltering from the rain. It's mental. But it sounds nice where you live, so good on you.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, I grew up in New England, and it rained all the damn time. It would rain for, like, what seemed like months. And,
yeah.
You know, and here it's Groundhog's Day. Like, every day is the same, and it's not the same, but it's just the same weather every day, and nothing really changes. And actually, you know, it's really random, totally, too. There's this guy that works in another department, and we had just, you know, we were just talking like a few months ago and about cryptocurrencies, which have exploded since we bought them. And I don't know if you guys follow any of that stuff, but him and I have always, like, you know, go for a walk for, like, 15 minutes to go talk about, like, cryptocurrency stuff and everything else. And there was this big thing today in our area where there was an airship, you know what I mean? Like, one of those Goodyear blimp things. I don't know if you guys know what that is. But everyone was talking in the office today or whatever, and I got a few messages from people saying that they thought there was a UFO, but it was a airship or one of those things. But
really? So why did they think it was, because it was it low?
It was really low. That's usually not out like that time in the morning when everyone's going to work, you know, in the morning. It's not something you would see. It was a very weird time for it to be out, you know? There's no games going on. And there was nothing on it to see, you know, what it was, you know, even from far away. So, I don't know, I brought that up. I just brought that up. I don't know why, but we were talking about something else, and I get off topic. I'm sorry, guys, I do that.
Oh, no, I want pictures now.
I probably should. It's so stupid, though. Vidier and I, like, we laughed about it, but, you know, this is the reason why. So we were walking, and they had sprayed some of the sky, right? And the interesting thing was, I turned to the sky, and I'm like, do you know that they spray the skies, right? He's like, oh, hell yeah. I'm like, you do? He's like, yeah. He's like, I know the difference between a chemtrail and a contrail. I was like, wow, like, for some average person, then I could just drop it like that, you know, who's 30 years old, 29 years old, and he even knew about it. It's like... I was like, I think more people are aware of it than people think, you know? Well, except for Ab, I'm sorry. Ab doesn't believe it exists. But apparently a 29-year-old that doesn't believe in any fakeology at all can see it. So.
Oh, no, I see lines in the sky all the time. Like, I'll put some pictures up and say a good 12 every morning.
When you're getting a kickback, you know, for not talking about it, you know?
So. Oh, no, I'll talk about lines. I don't know what they are. I don't know what's in them, but yeah, they definitely are from planes. So, yeah, I don't know. But no, just fucking hundreds of them a week.
All right, just Google airship, for God's sake. There's so many. Wow. Some of them are fake, but I think airships are satellites, I'm thinking, so far.
You know, for a lady who doesn't like talking about controversial subjects, she certainly loves space, and Tal's been bringing Flat Earth up. He's goading me. Very easy. Space cannot be real, okay? Come on.
Well, so that, yeah. Well, what? Neither can Flat Earth. There's absolutely zero proof for it.
Well, never mind. We'll address that. But satellites, come on. They were communicating before they had satellites.
And that's the other thing. Why would they even need a tiny little thing up in, I mean, the size of a satellite compared to the area that it's supposed to cover, it's like a speck of dust up in the upper atmosphere. Do we really need a speck of dust to grab communications and then push them somewhere else?
No,
but it seems like it would not even be at all helpful or useful with the amount of space.
It's interesting because the satellites are metal, right? So they need to reflect something off of a metal surface. That's the whole reason, supposedly, the satellites, right? So we can reflect that signal off of that. But the thing is, the signal that they're sending there is light. So I don't know how the hell that works when you have light that would probably most likely interfere with that, I would think, you know, to get to it, right?
The main reason satellites were introduced so they could have, orbit. They could get something to orbit. That was the main reason they wanted to. That was the fact that everyone believed in satellites meant that they believed in the orbit. So that was the main prize that they got from that. And then with that came rockets and more satellites.
And then chemtrails. We're back to chemtrails again. See how that works.
I think chemtrails are used for I think chemtrails are used for communication.
It feels like it, right? The way they lace that just, and you know what? My brother, he's a huge hiker. He loves to hike in the woods, and he goes to, all these different areas. And from his opinion, chemtrails are not out in the wilderness. He never sees them. They seem to only be above population areas.
Yes, that's my observation. When I think I told you that before. I was out in Pioneer Town, which is in the high desert, and it's outside of Palm Springs. And you could clearly see they were just spraying X's right over the city of Palm Springs, you know?
Well, that's why Ab doesn't see him.
Because he's over him. You're soaking in it, Ab. That's why you don't see it. You're soaking in it.
You know, the thing is, I grew up where it's always cloudy all the time, and Ab lives in an area where it's cloudy all the time. You can't see them if you're not really going to see them when it's so cloudy all the time. You know what I mean? Because, they can just spray right over that, you know? But I'll tell you.
Ab lived in the wilderness in Canada.
I'll tell you though, my mom, who is I'm a 180 of my parents anyway, but we were in the city of Boston, we were walking around, and I had pointed out, the chemtrails or whatever, and my mom was like, doing her, whatever. And then I'm telling you, after a few hours of walking around and her seeing them do that thing with like the spraying, she's like, look at that, they're spraying it all over the sky, you know? And, it woke her up to it, too. So it's like, when people can see it for your own eye, if you've been walking out all day, you can see it. It's kind of like, it's not, there's no way to deny it, you know?
Right. And chemtrails is one of the reasons I was like, all these big, giant, save the environment groups, don't pollute groups, like Sierra Club. And you know what? If those were real, they would be upset about chemtrails just on the pollution front alone, just the pollution they're putting out there. They should be like, who's polluting our skies? What are all these giant trails of pollution coming out the back of these planes? Why isn't the Sierra Club up in arms about it?
Why isn't everyone? We're talking about global warming all the time and fossil fuels and everything else. Like, why isn't that a topic of conversation, right?
Right, Al Gore. Come on, Al Gore. Why aren't you talking about chemtrails?
Well, supposedly...
They've admitted them at the beginning of the year. To call them aerosol, geothermal. But anyway, it's been admitted. They've just put a name to it now. Now they got away with it.
Supposedly, I read an article this week that the state of Rhode Island is going to be looking into chemtrails.
Really?
A politician, like some House representative, is trying to push for them to do research on it.
They're already doing it. I've just told you they've admitted it. It's called aerosol spraying. Oh, that's what they're saying it is.
Aerosol spraying?
Yeah, there's some fancy name to it, but it was admitted at the beginning of the year. That's what they said it is.
I read a theory that supposedly they say like aluminum, barium, strontium, that all that stuff is the same stuff that they need to use for holograms. So potentially they could do something that would affect like everyone on the planet with some
unless they're already doing it. Unless they're using holograms right now to cover up something they don't want us to see.
Right, exactly. Yeah, maybe that's the truth. You know?
I mean, they could certainly set it up for the future, but why would they not already be doing it if it's for that thing? I guess my point is.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, my brother, when he was a council member here in my small town, he had the city officially ask the state, what are the chemtrails, who are they from, and who's doing them? And the city did. He, you know, as a citizen, right, you can't call certain people. You have to have, you know, larger representatives do it. Well, anyway, it came back from the state saying they don't know what it is, they don't know what it's for, they don't know what's going on. However, they said it's coming from the military bases. They're the ones in charge of that area. That's what the state said.
Well, they're acknowledging that it's a thing, right?
Well, yeah. Well, they said the jurisdiction would be the military, I guess. The state didn't acknowledge the existence of chemtrails. So the city tried to get a hold of the military. And basically they said, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is why, Kay, don't get me started. It's like, and that's why 70% of our taxes go straight to the military, you know?
Right. At least the state kind of goes, yeah, we see those things up there. We'll look into it. The military pretended they didn't even know what a chemtrail was. What? I don't know.
Oh, God, man. I don't know. And, you know, when you were mentioned earlier, too, like, I'm not going to get into it. Never mind. Whatever. Don't want to talk about that. Get back to the, never mind. I was going to mention, never mind.
Say it. Now you got my
curiosity. I don't understand why anyone has to own whether the Earth is flat or round at all. Like, I don't even know why that has to be, like somebody has to be right about whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like when you've come to this level of fakeology, it's like, you know, I think you can say, hey, you know, I think it's more like this than that. But then people get so passionate, like, no, the world is flat. And then it's just, it just seems... So, like, how could you be like that if you came to this level that you wouldn't realize that you just have no evidence to support basically anything concretely? You know what I mean? I guess there's evidence either way, right? You're always going to say, oh, there's this and then that comes. You know what I mean? Like, unless you get in a damn freaking space, like a shuttle or whatever, and they shoot you up there or something like that, and that even if that even gets out of the atmosphere, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only way you're going to really, right? I don't know.
I see you, but... we are too tiny to figure out just by looking with our own eyes what we live on. Absolutely. That's why this works. But I guess my concern is that people are being manipulated by disinformation forces and they don't even know it. Like the railroad track thing, right? One of the flat earth, the deals is, hey, we're on a flat earth because look at railroad tracks. They're flat. I'm like, what the fuck? Really? If anyone ever thought the earth was flat because of railroad tracks are flat, it's like, you are completely under mind control. Don't railroad tracks turn? Don't they go around corners, uphills, downhills? Of course they're not flat. They've never been flat. They're sectional. They're in like 20-foot sections.
They ride on top of the ground.
Yeah, and the ground isn't flat. It goes up and down and left and right. But I had people say, okay, the earth is flat, look at railroad tracks, and they're fakeologists. And I'm in my head, I'm going, what the fuck? Everybody knows they're not flat. Everyone sees trains go left, turn right, go up, down. Why in the earth would anyone even consider that is a proof for flat earth? Because they're in a state of mind control from watching too many fucking flat earth videos.
And right, that's why I asked you about it.
Can I just add one thing?
I wonder if there's a train track next to the Suez Canal. That'd be nice to know.
Just to add to this, though, the only thing is, like, I kind of tend to be a person. I mean, I know they can trick you with, like, your vision and things like that. But, you know, I've definitely looked into, like, some of this stuff, like, you know, some of the planets and things like that. Like, I told you, I like to go to the high desert and go stargazing, and it's a lot of fun. And you can see some of these planets are clearly round. Like, why the fuck would those things be round? And the moon round, everything else is, like, and water itself is round, like, turns into a drop, you know? And like we had talked before, what is it when it rains, Kay? You said it's, water surrounds a particle, right? Like, what are we if nothing but a water surrounding a particle? You know?
Right? The globe, right? The Earth is a particle and water sticks to the outside of it. That's right. That was an interesting idea.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. Just so much.
Have you observed any of this? Have you? Has anyone observed this?
Observed what?
Do you know, but things going round. Have you ever seen the other side of the sun, the other side of the moon?
Nobody has, because the moon, it's the nature of all moons to have one face toward the planet they circle. Not just our moon. Every moon we can observe.
The moon turns, Kay.
No. Yeah, it turns NASA with the Earth.
Yeah, they say. All so we've never seen the backside of it?
All moons have one face facing the planet that moon circles around. So that's not our moon. That's every moon. That's the nature of moons.
But that still doesn't explain why we think it's a ball. You are assuming it's a ball, though.
It has to be a ball.
I want you to carry on. I'm just saying what you're saying is not been observed yet.
There's only one model. I hate to use the word model, but there's only one model that explains how the stars spin at the different poles. It either would have to be a sphere or a cylinder. There's
two
a
models.
Whole bunch. Right. But I think it's not a cylinder. So.
No. I meant helio or geo.
Right. So there's so many ways to prove it's a globe, but there's no ways to prove it's flat. That's the issue. And I keep going on about it because I want people to, you know, knock them over the head. Wake up out of your mind control, people. It's not flat and it can never be flat.
Well, let's tell you what,
it kind of screams disinformation, the flat earth thing to me.
Yeah, it is different. I mean, we have so many industries today that they're laying cable all around the globe. They're flying. They're circumnavigating the globe daily. I mean, if it was flat, they would figure this crap out. They would things would be different. We wouldn't need 100 cell phone towers. We would only need a couple, depending on how dense the population is and how much that tower, you know,
Have any friends that are pilots at all, Kay, or know anyone that's pilots?
Yeah, I know a few people who are pilots.
Yeah. Have they ever told you there's some weird shit that they've seen?
Mostly, the weird shit would be like weird lights, like UFO lights.
Yeah, things like that.
Stuff like that, yeah. That's it. But, yeah, no, they know it's a sphere. There's only one geographical three-dimensional shape that explains all the phenomena that we see on this Earth, like sunrise, sunset, how the stars turn above, things like that. There's no other model.
So why can't we see any curve?
We're too small.
We're too tiny to see a curve. But you can see evidence.
But you can see it on the ocean 3 miles away.
Well, you know what? Each one of those flat earth claims are false. They're just lying.
Let's just get this out of the way. The Suez Canal, 100 mile long, no locks.
Yeah.
You can see a 100, 100-foot boat 42 miles away, I think. Still see the mast of it. Now, I'm not saying it's flat, round, anything. I'm saying
But, hey, have you been there?
There's a bit. No, I've only seen the video, so I could still be duped. Okay.
There's probably something in there that they're trying to screw with your brain. They're trying to bust
no
your brain up.
But there is no on the Suez Canal. That's for definite anyway. So that's quite interesting in itself.
Hey, guys, I'm going to have to let you go. I have to get ready. But it's been a real pleasure. I love talking to you guys. It's been a while. So,
nice speaking to you, Tom. Enjoy your LA holiday.
Yeah, I hope you have a great weekend too.
I might see a movie tonight.
Ooh, enjoy. What are you gonna see? Scary movie?
Ragnarok.
Sounds scary.
With the Avengers series.
Ooh, terrifying.
No, it's supposed to be good.
I mean scary, but cool, awesome. All right, well, have a good night, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later. Bye. Do you watch movies, Danny?
I love the Marvel films. I think they're brilliant. I really do. It's amazing.
Thor, Ragnarok. Ragnarok.
I'm looking forward to seeing that film myself. It's directed by a New Zealander who directed a film called What We Do in the Shadows, which is about a group of vampires who share a house, like students. And very funny. So you will enjoy yourself when you go and watch Thor.
Suburbicon.
Suburbicon. I don't know.
God. If you don't watch much TV, you have to go out of your way to see what movies are playing. Does that make sense? Looks good. Ragnarok.
Yeah, it will be a bit flashy in CGI, though, so prepare to blink a fair bit.
Oh, my God, seriously, all the Avenger movies from CGI.
But they have to push the envelope, don't they, every time. This time you've got Thor on a different planet fighting with a Hulk. So
people don't think of that, though.
Any 12-year-old boy is envious. Pardon?
People don't think that it's CGI, though. You know, it doesn't, when they're watching the movie, they're like, this is so cool and real.
Oh, yeah, we do, though, don't we? Suspend our disbelief. It's some of the best things going with it. I mean, otherwise, books wouldn't have taken hold, would they? Our imagination is key. We are looking at a screen, but there's still a filtration between the screen and what you see. Two people can watch the same film and see totally different things, can't they?
Right.
No different nuances and all that.
Have you ever jumped from reading a book?
A couple of times when I was probably in my teens. I think I was reading Stephen King, It. And that was a bit.
Isn't that crazy how it's a book and you can still jump from fright?
I'm a sucker for horror films. The last horror film I watched was one of them Saw films about 10 years ago whenever they came out. And that put me off everything for good now. I get people to doctor the films before I watch them. So no more, only happy-go-lucky films for me from now.
That's good. You know, I have a theory about horror. I think the government puts them out is the military-industrial complex because our adrenal gland sits right atop our kidneys. Right, it's stuck to it. It's glued to it. Your adrenal gland is glued to your kidneys. And fright after fright overtaxes your adrenal glands, and I think those in charge know this, and it's the first way to get people sick is to destroy your adrenal gland and that therefore your kidney functions. I think they do it on purpose to destroy our adrenal gland and our kidney functions, so then we start to get sick. But not sick enough to die, just sick enough to not want to, protest your government and such.
Yeah. Yeah, sick enough so you don't really want to go out because Thor's been having a fight and you jump five times. It's similar to that film Monsters, Inc. Do you remember that kiddies film where they made the kids scream?
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end they make them laugh, don't they? You know, it's because it's a better power source. So maybe if they were just nice to us, things would be better. Maybe they've tried that. This is the only way is to progress our evolutionary tendencies. This is weird, right? People like dystopian futures and, you know, oh, it's getting worse. And like I put in earlier, we've got this victim mentality. And it's been pushed in films, like you say, that we're watching people watching turmoil and fighting. Good wholesome stories don't bring in bums to the seats, do they, in the movies?
They do, though. That's the funny thing, Napoleon. Good, wholesome, G-rated movies bring more people into the box office than scary, R-rated, and sexy, sexual-type content movies. They do.
Right.
If you look at the history, the highest-rated films were G-rated. So if they're the, you can make the most money off of G-rated films,
right.
Why aren't they making them?
Yeah, right, and yeah, because you've got a lot of the Disneys in the past 20 years. Yeah, definitely there. But there are, they do have the double entendres in them as well, so they're still aimed at adults a little bit. It's just passed for kids because it's able to. Like Jaws got a PG. So Jaws was a PG when it came out, which is just amazing. So no, but I know what you're saying there. Yeah, definitely you're right. It does. And they do pinpoint the perfect time of the year to release these different films as well.
So and if you, holiday weekends. Yeah, they know, right? The winter time and the Christmas season.
When the kids are off school.
But some movies, there's not a lot of.
I think some of the movies, they're sort of like One-Hit Wonders aimed at teenagers, pretty much.
Oh.
No, I think.
That's my theory. They try and put these super scary movies on purpose to destroy our adrenal glands as humans.
Well, why not? That makes sense. Like the placebo effect. When you see something bad, you're going to eventually, you know, work from it. And it's the same if you shock someone, their adrenal gland. So, yeah, why not? But I don't know the anatomy of the human body. Why is it attached to the liver? Does it have some main...
The kidney.
Kidney.
Yeah, so the adrenal gland sits right atop the kidney. It also helps if you eat fruit, the sugar from the fruit is absorbed directly into your body, so it doesn't touch the digestion. But the adrenal gland helps in processing other sugars that are not from fruit.
That's some sort of agey pancreas. So therefore, that's why they like that corn syrup then there, because that'll be directly going into your sugars there, your basic sugars. There you go. You made me scared now of everything.
Scary movie. Don't eat. Yeah, right. Go to the scary movie. Get your Coke.
Yeah, don't go in the desert. You might trip over a Neanderthal bone and break your leg. No, it's all right. We'll go and visit Tal. It sounds lovely where he is.
All right. I want to do an LA tour thing. I'm getting jealous now. That sounds so much fun.
Yeah, like I say, it's actually raining where I am now, and it's 12:35 at night. So on that high note, I'm going to bid you good night, darling. But it's been wonderful talking to you. And so we're going to leave it there at dinosaurs and flat Earth, and we'll take it to the next level next.
Next time, and airships and aerial spraying.
God, yeah. But like I say, if it's not happening in rural areas, maybe Ab's just out of the blue. You know, he's out of the way, because some people do see lots in the sky, but it is only mainly near cities, and it is admitted to. So you know.
Right,
we'll
you have to watch them, though. That's the thing. Sorry.
I've got to tell you. I've just put a question in the live stream for you.
Okay. See, let's answer his question.
I'm still trying to read it. It's late for me. But I am going to mute just in case I start muttering while I read. Because I'm only a Neanderthal.
It's in the live stream chat, you said? Oh, I see it. Here's a math question for your class, Kayham. Massachusetts High School apologizes for 9/11 math problem. Newburyport school administrators apologized Thursday for homework students were given containing a math problem about the September 11th tragedy. That's not very nice to make the kids all sad like that. Teacher under fire for creating an algebra problem from the 9/11 terror attacks. Okay, what's the problem? Well, let's see. The picture on Twitter. Here's the problem. Flight 175, one of 9/11 planes, was traveling at 586 miles per hour when it hit the World Trade Center. It had traveled a distance of 440 miles before impact. How many minutes was the plane in the air? Remember to convert from hours to minutes, multiply by 60. Why should he have to? Some parent mailed this to someone. Why should he have to apologize? I guess it's too soon.
Yeah. Yeah, especially as people, you know, people are tender, what's the word? Still open wound, you know, every day. Even though it's not an open wound. That's brilliant, no, but because you're doing the fakeologist, you're trying to work it out in your head. You know, you just look beyond it, you're going, so what lie are they trying to portray here? I can see how that'd offend people. It doesn't offend us. I think it's brilliant. Have you worked it out yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, it's your homework.
Okay. Do you want it college-ruled piece of paper?
Oh, no, I'm not going into it, but I reckon it probably either finish in a 9 or 11.
I should try it. But I like how Fox News takes any chance to air a 9/11 story.
Yeah. Well, we had, did you remember the Grenfell Towers, the Grenfell Tower that was ablaze in London at the beginning of the year?
Yes. That was
we had our own hoax version of that come out today. It was a gentleman who was basically, he'd said that his family died, had been found out to be lying, and he'd received £12,500 in donations and different bits. But also he'd met Prince Charles, and he was pictured with Prince Charles.
No way.
Yeah, so now they've covered the hoax side of the Grenfell Towers. It only was out in the paper today. I've not been able to find a link for it, otherwise I would have put it. Yeah, so there's you. Just like that lady who had a fake husband who died in 9/11, obviously. And so, we know most people were fake. But, yeah, so there you go. That's that fake or hoax side covered.
Right. Oh, my God. One of our teachers has a unit on fake news. I'm trying to get a hold of it, see what it's about.
What is this stuff she's compiled herself?
Yeah, she's a social studies teacher. Yeah, I'll have to ask her, did you do it yourself or did you get your fake news unit from CNN or, you know, where'd you get it from?
Did you listen to Hoaxbusters the other day with Chris and John and Sean?
Yeah, wasn't that interesting? That
was loads of things that they hit up on. Just that one thing about social workers when he said, you know, they pay them a shitty wage because if they paid them more money, they'd realise what they were doing was, you know, not really helping, but because they give them a shitty wage, they think they're angels. And, there's definitely different kinds of incentives for jobs. I mean, teachers are putting the pressure like yourself there. But for someone who's, like these big businessmen, they have to adhere to, you know, standards and all that. So your conscience is bred out of you in business, even if you're learning at, you know, an early age. So when anyone goes into business now, I always think, well, once you see that at an early age, how can you not understand that it's like that in the rest of the world, you know, whether it's media or science, and, you know, they paper over the cracks and, you know, they let slide with everything. And it's just funny how someone can be successful and believe, like you say, in dinosaurs.
I know, right? Because they have to believe in it all. That's the thing. It's all or nothing. It's either they believe in it all and they believe the media, or they're like us and we're super doubtful.
And sometimes if they admit to one thing being fake, it's only for a while and then they revert back to it.
Yeah. No. And they can, I've heard people say things are fake, but then, like you said, later they are not so sure.
Yeah.
They revert back.
Yeah. It's like a drug that wears off, I suppose. But you read it, you're doing maths in your head now.
I'm actually looking at these airships that look like a big butt. I should put it in the live stream. Terry, one. Look, it's got its hiney in the air. Let me show you. Image. Okay, so where can we throw these at? Can we put an image in the live stream chat?
Yeah, well, I'm on the live stream now, so you can be great.
And it's disturbing. It's like, is this really an airship? Oh, my computer's slow. I'll put it in there later. But you know what? I have to go too. I want to watch Ragnarok. Watch a movie.
Well, you enjoy yourself, and I hope your popcorn jumps out on your lap, because hopefully you should get a jump fright. Not enough so it's going to damage your kidneys. But I hope you enjoy yourself.
Right.
God, so that's it. No, you can't say enjoy the film, because if you enjoy the film, you know, you're damaging yourself.
Damn it, right? I'm damaging my kidneys. Dang it.
Yeah. I hope you missed the end. Is that all right?
Maybe I'll take a, what do you call those, the things people take to make them, like, come down, and, you know, the pill you take. Whiskey. I'll have a couple of shots of whiskey.
There you go. You've got it. Well, it's been lovely talking to you, darling, and, enjoy the film.
Yeah, thank you. You enjoy your rest.
Well, good night.
All right, good night.
Hello, I am Stephen Hawking from Oxford, England. You are listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.